Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Grant Napier Show.
This is the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
This team, there he is again. My goodness.
Doug Christie, what a pass. Men against boys.
The Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
Crouches, gets a step to the baseline. Drives with the right hand. Oh, boy.
Now, Grant Napier.
Well, hello, everybody. Grant Napier and Doug Christie. We welcome you to Summer League. We are inside the Thomas and Mack Center. Lots to talk about with the Kings. Some good, some bad, some, interesting takes that Doug and I are going to have. We have obviously watched the Kings play in every single game, the three in Sacramento and the two here. But we are ready to roll. How are you, sir?
I am doing fantastic, Napes. I mean, we're in Vegas having a good time, watching some, for goodness sakes, 82 games in however many days. This is big time. NBA is doing a fantastic job down here.
A couple of things that I think I feel very confident in saying. If you disagree, tell me. If healthy, Harry Giles is going to be a really, really good NBA player.
Agreed.
If healthy, Marvin Bagley is going to be a really, really good NBA player.
Agreed.
I think Justin Jackson has improved a lot from last year, but I still don't see him as a starter due to his inconsistency. And Frank Mason has been the most disappointing player on the Kings through Summer League's five games.
You know, so first, Justin Jackson. Offensively, he's been fantastic. He's done some things. Where I kind of have an issue is you talked about the inconsistencies, and what's going to happen normally is when you get to the next level, and that's the NBA level, this is Summer League, that they're going to take those things that he's doing away from him, and how does he still affect the game? I would like to see him affected on the defensive end. We talk about Frank. Unfortunately, I've seen turnovers from Frank, a lot of different things. I thought Frank took a huge step, and so far it seems he's taken a little step backwards. Yesterday's game was a little bit better, but there's little things, Grant, that I look at that when you go through an NBA season, you learn some tricks. You learn different things that Summer League should not be able to affect you. That's, back-to-back turnovers, guys deflecting the balls. You learn how to get position and a lot of different things that I'm seeing Frank struggle with a little bit that I had expected to see him take a big step forward. So can it still be done? Yeah, but he's got some work to do.
We expect to have some news on Marvin Bagley's MRI in the course of today's show. He did have the MRI. They're waiting for the imaging to be read, and then we'll go from there. In speaking with some of the people in the Kings organization, they don't believe it's a serious deal, but they wanted to make sure that there is nothing significant, but it's significant enough that he won't play. And you and I, it happened right in front of us.
Yes.
And what did I say to you?
That'll probably be the last time we see Marvin Bagley.
Before he walked up the court, I said to Doug, I said that's the last time we'll see Marvin until the fall, right?
Yes, you did. You know what? You just have to be careful. So I understand the apprehension on the Kings from the Kings' standpoint. It was good for Marvin. I think that he was seeing, people talk about his left-hand dominance and a lot of different things that I can totally agree with. He's been able to roughhouse, be bigger, be faster, be stronger, more athletic than people for this amount of time, whether you talk about the 4 years of high school, the 1 year of college. That's 5 years. We're talking 60 months, Grant. That he's now all of a sudden people are taking those things away from him because this is a different level. He's facing adversity. How about injury? Injury-wise, facing adversity, what will he do now?
And I got to tell you, I'm just going to come out and say it. There are so many idiots out there that try to evaluate players based on two or three summer league games.
Come on.
No, it's absurd. I mean, you know what? Honestly, I've always said this, okay? There should be a license protocol for having the ability to go on social media. In other words, it should be like a driver's test, okay? if you cannot pass the Twitter test, you do not get a Twitter account. Seriously, there are so many morons out there. There are just absolute idiots that try to watch a player play in two or three summer league games and make unbelievable comments Listen, I respect your basketball knowledge, and I got to tell you, sitting next to you during the Phoenix Kings game the other night was a real treat for me, because normally when you and I are watching basketball,
yes,
we have a headset on,
right,
and we're announcing a game, and it was a real treat for me to pick your brain as we were watching the Kings play the other night against Phoenix.
I appreciate
it. I really was. I'm not kidding you. And, you know, listen, I've been watching NBA basketball up close for 30 years.
Yep.
All right, so I think I know. I'm not right all the time.
Gotcha.
But I have a pretty good – I think I have a pretty good feel when a player is going to be good or not.
Yes.
I don't see any way, any circumstance that Marvin Bagley is not at the worst a good to very good NBA player. That's at the very bottom level.
I would agree with you, Grant. That type of motor, that type of athleticism, that, I mean, he is locked in. He is definitely going to be. And when you pair that stuff together, what it tells you is this kid is going to get in the gym and he's going to work on the things that he needs to work on to take his game to the next level. If I didn't hear that about him, if I didn't see that type of motor, I would say, you know what, yeah, I think you're wrong. This is a kid who's going to struggle a lot. Will he struggle? Yeah, he'll struggle by guys taking certain things away from him. But he has an ace in the hole with his drive, desire, motor, athleticism, things like that, that you can, yeah, overcome some of those things.
And in speaking with some of the Kings coaches that work with Marvin Bagley on a daily basis,
mm-hmm,
everything they tell me is like, wow, unbelievable work ethic, always asking questions, great team guy. I don't know if you noticed it last night. When the Kings came out onto the floor for warm-ups,
yep,
you know where Marvin Bagley was standing?
Standing right under the hoop.
That's exactly,
yep,
right. All right?
I love it,
right,
Grant.
But again, so I talked to the coaches. I talked to Bob Thornton, who's the Kings' big man coach.
Yes.
And he told me when Marvin Bagley came in for his workout in June, he goes, let me tell you something. The one thing that really surprised me is this guy is strong. And Bob is a big, big guy. He goes, I gave him a couple of real good, like, pushes,
yeah,
and shoves to see how he would react.
Yep.
And he came right back at me, and he's strong. And he said, and then I taught him one little move during the workout, and he was able to do it. And he looked at me and said, hey, thank you. And he said, see what you, you know. And my point is, like, when I speak to the coaches like Bob and stuff, they're like, oh, this guy is going to be a real special talent in the league.
Well, you know one thing that Bob knows. Bob knows hard work. He that is one thing. That's what got him over to be an NBA player. And so when you pair all of that together, I was at that workout, and I know specifically what Bob is talking about. There was a time where Marvin comes down, nice little hook, so B comes down next time, and Bob kind of pushes something and hits him in the back. And when he did that, Marvin did not shy away. He gravitated towards the contact, backed up, and I could see that Bob was like, okay, I like the fact that you're doing that. On top of the fact, Grant, you said something. He asks questions. That may be the biggest thing that I heard you say, because that means that not only is he vested in it, he's the person who is initiating.
Right.
He wants to information. Therefore, he's going to take that information and work on it. That is huge.
And also, for all of you basketball experts out there who know everything about every player in the league that ripped the hell out of the Kings for giving Zach LaVine an offer sheet. Here's my question to you all, okay? If Zach LaVine is as bad as you said he was, and if Zach LaVine is not worth anything based on the way a lot of the fans put it out there, then why did the Chicago Bulls match the offer for $80 million? Do they not have any idea about Zach LaVine? I spoke to two coaches that coached Zach LaVine in Minnesota. I don't want to mention their names. And I talked to Jim Peterson, the longtime television analyst for the Timberwolves, a one-time king. He told me they made a mistake, that they should have traded Andrew Wiggins and kept Zach LaVine, and that Zach LaVine was the guy that needed to be on that team. One of the coaches with the Timberwolves told me that Zach LaVine is going to end up being a better player than Andrew Wiggins when it's all said and done. The point is, for all these people out there that thought, what are the Kings doing? What are the Kings doing? What are the Kings doing? Well, there are at least two teams that really like Zach LaVine, one that gave him the offer sheet and one that matched the offer sheet.
Listen, Grant, if somebody's going to tell you that they don't like Zach LaVine and he can't play, first of all, the conversation is over. I'm not even listening to you. And could I be a little biased because he's from Seattle? I get that. No, I think I know basketball. Today's basketball is about talent. It's about the assembling that talent. And make no mistake about it, there is not much greater talent than a guy like that. He can shoot the basketball. That is imperative in today's game. He is uber athletic. That is a gift that not a lot of people have. And when you pair that together, the kid has a drive and desire to be good at the same time. So now you're talking about the same type of mindset that you got with a Marvin Bagley, with a Harry Giles, with a De'Aaron Fox. You got a guy at 23 years old, Grant, that is a veteran pretty much. He's been in the league 4 years, but he's young enough to fit right in with the guys that you have. Well, I thought it would have been a fantastic pickup, and I was very disappointed. But understanding that Chicago didn't even wait 15 minutes.
No.
As soon as the thing was in, they bang right away. That should let you know something as well.
Yeah, generally speaking, the way this works is when you make an offer sheet for a player, if the team matches that offer sheet, that tells you that player's pretty good. If a team does not match the offer sheet and they have cap room, that tells you all you need to know. Like if you look at Anderson from the Spurs,
Now,
I don't think he's a bad player, but I think Memphis greatly overpaid for him, which I get. You're going to have to overpay to get free agents in Memphis and Sacramento and other cities. I get that. But San Antonio, they didn't match it, and there's a reason why they didn't match it. So, you know, everyone needs to just take a step back and let the Kings front office do their job. I mean, the criticism that comes about every little move in terms of the negativity blows me away. I mean, it's absolutely mind-boggling to me.
Listen, Grant, I'm going to, as I was looking at it, because I haven't been on social media, but I was reading on the internet. So there was a criticism about the fact that it was $20 million. But we want you to go and take a bad contract that'll probably be $13 to $14 million. Well, if you do the math, you're getting a Zach LaVine roughly
for five or $6 million.
Absolutely.
Right.
And we were just in the elevator talking about my Pepperdine math straight out of Rainier Beach.
Sure.
I get it. It doesn't add up. But I'm just saying, if you can get Zach LaVine ultimately for $6 million, goodness freaking gracious, that makes so much sense. You are
You have an accountant, right?
Yeah. Man.
All right, so you don't have to count all your money. They do it for you, so you don't need math. But here's the deal, okay? You're 100% correct on that.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
I mean,
And here's the other thing. The Kings are not trying to win the NBA championship this year, okay? They're making this program get better and better each year, and they're trying to stockpile good players.
Yeah.
And next year and the year after, they're going to have a ton of money to go out and spend. Now, do I know that they're going to get a top-line free agent? No, they probably won't. Do I think they can get the next? Well, listen, how many players this year took one-year deals so they could be available? Well, guess what? Not all, you know, there are going to be a lot of good players next year that are looking for work.
Yes, there are. And you know what? You may end up with someone, in my opinion, that is a decent player, and you pay him just as much as you would have paid Zach LaVine, but he's not as good as Zach LaVine. And that's just my opinion. We're gonna spend some money, and we're gonna get a free agent, and hopefully we get the type of free agent that takes us to that next level. Because ultimately, this year is about taking off the training wheels and really seeing what you got. If you're the guy who's playing 30 minutes, go out there and handle your business. Now you're gonna get an opportunity to maybe take that next step as a team.
You know, again, what the assistant, and I got the two stories mixed up, so I want to correct myself. The assistant coach that I spoke to told me that they should have kept Zach LaVine and traded Andrew Wiggins. When I talked to Jim Peterson, I read his text over the air about how much he loves him. Great player, great work ethic, great team guy, hell of a player, you know. So, I mean, those were his comments. And then, you know, the Minnesota coach said, oh, we made a mistake. We traded the wrong guy. You know what? That tells me all I need to know. But here's the other thing. I'm going to move on now because he's not on the Kings. He's on Chicago. The point I'm trying to make, hey, you know what? I get the fact that we have a great fan base and they're passionate, and I love that. But I got to tell you, the knee-jerk reaction that is occurring in Sacramento now because of social media and fans that think that they're experts, you're embarrassing yourselves. You really are. Stop it. Take a deep breath and let the damn team go through their moves, all right? I mean, it's just ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. You know how many coaches I've talked to in the last 4 days since I've been here? And they all say the same thing. They go, you know what? The one thing about Summer League, it's instant mass overreaction. Like, you know, you'll see one guy come out and have a great game. Oh, he's going to be the or a guy comes out and has a bad game. Oh, he can't play. They laugh. They joke. They go, hey, Summer League is just one tool to get ready for the regular season.
It is. And you know what drives me crazy? So to that point, Grant, if you would be here right now, think of how many people screwed up on Kevin Knox. Have you seen this kid play for the New York Knicks? Everyone was saying initially, I would never pick him. He's not going to be that good. A lot of different things. Well, if you look at him out here on the court, he looks spectacular. Does that mean it's going to translate to the NBA? No. But you could say the same thing about someone who's not playing right. Well, and then all of a sudden they take off. This is their first dive into it. And you know what a lot of this does, Grant? It lets them face adversity and different things like that. And now, between the time that this is over and the time the training camp start, have they been in the gym? Where you will see drastic improvement in some guys who get in the gym and work on their game. So this is part of the process, and I like to see some of the adversity these young players face.
All right, coming up at 3:30, the Kings Summer League coach Larry Lewis. We'll talk to him about some of the players that we just mentioned. So that's coming up at 3:30 right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Doug and I are on the concourse at the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas. The Kings do not play today. They're actually scrimmaging a Chinese national team at 5. And my understanding is that the Kings regulars for Summer League will not be playing. And I get that. And then the Kings play tomorrow in the middle of, I think, a 3:30 start. So, but, you know, again, it's all about, Summer League's about four players and then a wild card. And the wild card is a player that no one's ever heard of that opens up eyes that may get a camp invite. All right?
Yeah, and that happens.
That's what I mean. Right. So yeah. So this year's Summer League, this is what Summer League's about. It's about Harry Giles, Marvin Bagley, Frank Mason, and Justin Jackson. It's not about anybody else. Okay? Now, I'm not discounting the rest of the players on the team, but the bottom line is maybe – and I'm trying to be nice here. Maybe one of those players will be invited to a summer league in a training camp in the fall. So let's not get carried away here. It's not about wins. It's not about losses. It's about individual player development. That's what it's about.
Yes, it is. And, you know, this is for a guy like even from my understanding, you know, Harry Giles was sat down last night so they could see some of the other guys because Harry's pretty much showing. Even so, I would love to see Harry stay out there on the floor, obviously. But you're right, Grant, there aren't that many spots. There will be some guys who make it, like a Winyon Gabriel played pretty well last night. Might he be the type of guy that you invite to camp and what have you, or a G League player or something like that? So you're right, four players, and the one player, again, I want to see Frank Mason take that next step, the ability to run the team, get guys into sets, not getting late in the shot clock. It's not necessarily about his offense. It's about reading and understanding and all the different things that go along with being a point guard at this level, and especially, Grant, a backup point guard. You don't have to be the lead guards. What you do need to do is run that second unit when you come in the game, or if De'Aaron Fox is getting foul trouble, if he's injured, understand how do you do something similar to De'Aaron Fox when you come in the game for him if you're playing with the starters, because they expect something, and you have to be able to serve that up as well.
All right, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. I think the most excitement around this summer league is Harry Giles from the Kings' perspective. I mean, wow. You know what? And here's the other issue. He's getting more and more comfortable and better and better. How about that mid-range jumper last night?
Listen, Grant, the mid-range jump shot, spectacular. But in that first game, his defense,
oh boy.
The steals that he got, those type of things, just talking to Harry and hearing the way that he's going about this, he takes it personally, Grant. And those are the type of players, they put it out on the line. They don't necessarily like their opponent, maybe after the game. I like that about him. He's showing so many different facets to his game. And I will say this, Grant, from the first time we saw Harry in Sacramento with those three games, now to what we've seen last night and just as of late getting here, that's what I mean. You can tell he's already improving. It's going through his brain. He's figuring out how does he do certain things out on the floor. The sky's the limit for that kid. Obviously the injury thing, you got to stay healthy. But if he stays healthy, he has all the attributes that I love.
All right, on what is today, Monday? On Saturday night, we had a chance to see DeAndre Ayton for the first time in person.
Yes.
Give me your thoughts on what you saw.
You know, Grant, I wasn't as impressed as I thought I was going to be. When I went away, you and I had talked on air way back when, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go study. I told you, I go, I take a look at the games, I come back, and I go, wow. And it was the running of the floor. It was the mid-range jump shot. It was the post presence. It was all those things. he had some post-presence different stuff. The thing that didn't jump out at me that I thought would, I thought he was going to be more agile than he looked. He looked plotting to me as, you know, the big center. And if that is the case, maybe he was tired. I don't know. I'll have to continue to watch him. Does he have an incredible skill set? Yeah. Once he learns how to post down low, it looks like he has a nice little jump hook, turnaround jump shot. He is athletic, but not that same. Like, Harry and Marvin are athletic, but agile athletic. I didn't necessarily see that from him. But yep. This is – and I'm not going to rush the judgment either, like we're talking about. We're going to give the guy a little slack and see what he does going forward.
Player that was went to the Atlanta Hawks is Trey Young, and I'm curious, have you seen him play in person?
Yes, I have. And this is what I'll say about Trey Young. I think personally Trey needs to understand that scoring isn't going to be initially the way that he dominates the game. If I was talking to Trey, I would tell him to focus on the playmaking because he has spectacular vision. He sees the floor really well. He can pass like I would say in this draft he's probably got the best vision out of anyone that I've seen so far. So I would more lean on that, and what that will do is that's going to get him wide open shots as he serves up the table for other people. He's going to find himself where he doesn't have to chase down shots because he kind of looks a little bit like he looked at Oklahoma once they to his words they figured out his game and started double and triple teaming him. This at this level you don't have to double triple team. These guys are bigger, stronger, faster. They are all over him. I'm still seeing 30-foot yep. Air balls, and I wouldn't like to see that if I was the Hawks.
All right, let's talk about the Houston Rockets for a minute. They lose Trevor Ariza to Phoenix in free agency. Luke Bamute is now going to the Clippers. They lose him. There's some rumors about maybe getting Carmelo Anthony. I'm just going to come out and say it right now, okay? Carmelo Anthony will be a disaster in Houston, all right? You don't need Carmelo Anthony. You can do better than that. And as far as Luke Bamute, I think that the Houston Rockets just lost two valuable players because of the way they defend.
Listen, Grant, they screwed up is what they did. Yeah. Bamute and Trevor Ariza, those are lockdown defenders, Grant, not only at one position. See, this is where teams, I think, they underestimate the value. And the value, in my opinion, is the ability to switch 1 through 4. And you could switch 1 through 4 with Trevor Ariza and Luke Mabute, meaning that they can stick a point guard. They'll stay in front of him. They understand defense. They'll give him the space and still contest the shot. And when you talk about Carmelo Anthony will go there. They are ISO based. He'll do a little something. That would have been a piece that yep. maybe I would have added hey. With those guys. But now without him, and you have to depend on Melo,
well,
we saw that last year.
They used to switch all the time on the perimeter because of the ability of those two.
Yes.
I don't see how they're going to do that now. And their defense was very, very good last year.
It was. I mean, very impressive from the standpoint that that's not something that we really saw from the Houston Rockets. And all of a sudden, defensively, I thought that they were solid. And those two guys, I think that they overplayed their hand. Now, if they come up with something different, and I understand the whole thing of you got Carmelo Anthony, you got Chris Paul, and you got James Harden. The problem with that is now you don't have any defense.
Right.
I mean, none. And I don't know what they're – Clint Capella, what's going to happen with that whole situation. The Houston Rockets, man, they were right there. And now they – in my opinion, Grant, they've regressed.
I think they have as well. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I want to get back to a couple Kings notes. The one thing that I have been pleasantly surprised about through four games of Summer League is Marvin Bagley's defense. His block shots, his tenaciousness. You know, all I heard was Siv, can't play defense, can't block shots. I haven't found that to be true at all in the first four games.
Well, you know what the big thing with that is, Grant, is you said tenacity. And that is – on the defensive end, that's what it's about. It's about the ability. If you get beat, do you stop? The kid never stops. He keeps coming. He's trying to block shots. He's going to learn how to play defense, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say that he's going to probably be a solid defender from the standpoint. I don't think he understands position defense at all right now. He jumps around on the defensive end. He doesn't understand how to do early work. And these are things that you're taught, and you're taught by professionals. And once you get it and you practice it and you just drill it, you start to get it. Right now, he's always dependent on his athleticism. That will get him in trouble. But that tenacity with that athleticism will keep him in the ballgame.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, we are back with you here at Summer League. Grant Napier and Doug Christie, and it's a pleasure to be with us. A guy that played, what was it, 13, 14 years?
13 years
in the NBA. Vin Baker, and now with the Milwaukee Bucks organization, and we'll talk about what he's doing with the Bucks. But first of all, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. Doug Christie's my brother.
Yeah.
You know, we've been through a lot of wars together on the court,
yep,
and had some great experiences off of it. So it's my pleasure to be here. I'm honored.
That's awesome. Why don't you tell everybody what you're doing with the Bucks?
So I started this year with as pre and post game with Fox, doing some analyzing, and then I moved to the sideline as an assistant coach, player development, working with Jabari Parker, Thon Maker. When the season ended, I tried to figure out where I was going to move next. And so the job that I have now is director of player programming. So that'll involve working with the players both on and off the court, doing some things with our G League team affiliate, the Wisconsin Herd. So I'm just excited to be in the building. I think I have a lot to offer the Bucks and offer these young men. And just excited about the opportunity.
You think? I mean, goodness gracious. We're talking all-star, big man. Like in today's game, you'd be nasty because you were knocking down jump shots, doing a lot of different things. Does like Thon and did you tell him to go YouTube you?
No, they have. I did it the very first day, DC. YouTube and Google.
There you go. So you mentioned two names, Thon Maker. Mm-hmm. What do you think is his upside as you look at him? And Jabari Parker was the other one.
Yeah, I think Thon, the sky's the limit for him.
He has,
you know, he's a big man. He's the modern-day big man, can stretch the floor. He can rebound. He had an excellent series against Boston.
Yeah, he did.
We took them to seven, had some really huge games. I thought he won, like, two of those games for us. So his upside is huge. He's only 20 years old, DC.
Wow.
So he has an opportunity to continue to grow. I think being in the building with Giannis every single day, he obviously sees greatness. And,
right.
He wants to aspire to be that. And we have a great new coaching staff there that's going to help him develop. So I'm looking forward to him taking it the next step.
Yeah
and then we talk about Jabari Parker, and obviously we know about his knee issue, but the guy's talent is just incredible. Give me your thoughts on him.
Yeah, Jabari is a great talent, and you know, I think he's one of the top offensive talents in the game. And I'm not just saying that because I had the opportunity to work with him. I've seen him over the last couple of years grow into his game. You know, obviously coming back from his ACL surgery this year, he played really, really well for us down the stretch. He reminds me so much of a player that I played with, Glenn Robinson.
Oh.
Got that kind of scoring ability, probably a little bit more athletic than Glenn, but
big dog.
Yeah.
The same type of scoring ability. He's going to be able to get, when healthy this year, he's going to be able to put up 18, 19 points a night for whoever signs him back. Hopefully it's us.
What's his mindset? Because I know going through injuries, you've been through a few. I've been through. I mean, that's the nature of the beast. Who can stay healthy? Did that ever waver with him? I know you have dark days and different stuff. Where's his mindset?
Well, you know, when I got back to the team and got on the sideline, DC, his mindset is great. He's
really
a very peaceful kid. He's beyond his years. Very mature kid. He understands what has happened to his body, but
okay,
he's very positive. You would never know from talking to him that he's gone through the adversity he's gone through with injury. Very positive kid, and this is the beauty of it is he's gotten his athleticism back. You know,
right,
he had some massive games for us when he came back, a huge game, 30-point game against Denver. So he's at peace with where he is. You know, I'm sure he'd like his contract done, obviously, like any of us.
No doubt.
But as far as his game is concerned and where he thinks he is, he's at peace.
What's his now after injuries? Because that takes a little bit. What's his position? Is it stretch four? Could he still play three? Because that was – if he was going to be a three, he was going to be dominant because of that big body and athleticism. But now has he transitioned maybe or
– So I think he's 3-4. I think he's somewhere in between that. I think it's all about the matchup in a particular night because he can play both.
Okay.
But I think what Jabari brings to the table, what I think is neat is that if you're the opposite coach, you're going to have to make adjustments to him. He's one of those special talents on the court where if he has 22, 23, you have to make the adjustment. So I think he can defend both spots on the floor.
Interesting. You know, when you talk about Milwaukee, you mentioned Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I the first thing I look at is still how unbelievably young he is and how accomplished and his ceiling. It's scary.
Yeah.
You know, it's frightening to think how good he could be.
Yeah, he's one of the most unique talents I've ever seen, obviously as a player and certainly now as a coach. He's just one of the more unique talents I've ever seen. I don't think
ever.
You know, when I watch him day in and day out, I'm always trying to figure out who he reminds me of. So you know it's unique when you can't think of a person or a player that Giannis reminds you. And I think the most unique part about Giannis, outside of his obvious ability and talent, is his humility.
Wow.
And when you're that humble, like I've saw him this year get 44, 15, and 8 on Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon he was in the gym. And we had the day off. So that gives you an idea of what kind of player he wants.
Could you imagine what it's going to be like if he starts hitting threes? I mean, because we say the same thing about Ben Simmons in Philadelphia. Now, but the point I'm trying to make is they would both be completely unguardable because they're almost unguardable now, but they really would go under the definition of being unguardable.
Yeah, when he adds, I'm not going to say if I know, when he adds his three and that jump shot, he will be the most elite player in the game, best player. I think Kevin Durant said it early in the season. I don't know where Kevin was at that point in saying it. He said this kid has the ability to be the best player ever. So
that's unbelievable.
When he adds this jump shot, it's going to be a nightmare for the rest of the league.
You know what it speaks to, Vin, is, man, Milwaukee is set up. Obviously, you got to sign him. He's said as much that he likes being in that smaller market. But when your best player is like that and showing like Thon and showing we'll talk about DiVincenzo, who you drafted out of Villanova. When they're watching the best guy do that, it sets the coach really doesn't have to say too much. He just, gives you some direction. Yeah. But, look, if he's doing it, you better do it.
Absolutely. Indeed, that's the best part of his leadership. Not much of a vocal guy just yet because of his age. There's some older guys, Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe, kind of been there, done that. But as far as example, no one sets a better example than Giannis. I can remember losing our last game to the Celtics, game 7, and then coming back, and me being a former player, it hurt.
Yeah.
And I went to the office, and I walked in. It was like day 4 after we lost, and I saw Giannis in the weight room. I said, there's no reason for me to be down.
I love it. I love it.
He's back up on his feet. Yeah. I certainly can pick my spirits up.
Man, that's beautiful. We're talking with Vin Baker. When you look back at your career, what are your fondest memories? Because you played for several teams, but it was Seattle?
Yeah, I think Seattle was certainly, getting there my first year and playing under Coach Carl and winning the Pacific. At that point in my career, it was my fifth season, and I didn't know if I could win. I'd been an all-star multiple times, but being an all-star and winning are two different things.
Yes, they are.
When I got to Seattle, I was able to win with Gary. So that was 61-21 winning the Pacific that year, and then certainly winning the gold medal in 2000 was the highlights of my career.
We talk about watching young players here. And you went through the whole process from coming into the league and all of a sudden, bang, being at the top. When did you say to yourself, I belong here?
Yeah, I think it was after coming from a small school, University of Hartford in Connecticut, I think it was like after the All-Star break, my rookie season.
Oh, so it took you that long? You didn't feel anything here while you were at Summer League or any of that?
Yeah, well, the problem was I didn't come to Summer League. I held out until I got my contract situation. So I think that set me back for those first few months adjusting. So it took me about 4 months, and it'll be different for some of these guys.
Absolutely.
And the one thing I told Dante this, I coached him at the combine, ironically, this past year.
Okay.
And we drafted him. I told Dante the one thing, and I'll tell all young players, if you come to compete, because you're going to meet someone or see someone that runs like you, jumps as fast, higher than you. But if you compete, you know this, D, you got to bring the competitive edge to
absolutely
get ahead in this game. Because they all look. DeAndre Ayton is going to see guys hit the same size. What happens when he gets hit? And is he going to hit back?
Yes.
That's what's going to be your growth level.
I love it.
So we were talking about Marvin Bagley, and a lot of people are saying, oh, he's so left-hand dominant, da-da-da. I said, look, about 18 months ago, the kid was in high school. Mm-hmm. He just dunked on everybody. Nobody wasn't stopping him.
Right.
Even when he got to college, 21-12. This is probably his first time facing adversity, to your point. What the hell do you do now?
Right, exactly.
That's huge.
And then I watched him the other day, and I think it was against Adebayo in Miami.
Right.
And just watching from my hotel room, and I said, this kid's got to embody his Chris Bosh. It's a thinking man's game up here. I tell everyone, Floyd Mayweather is not the toughest 147-pound person on the planet.
Yeah.
He's the smartest with gloves on.
Yes.
So that's where, Bagley's got to get. He's got to open up, face up, let that jumper go a little bit, and then drive. In college,
what did you think of the announcers doing that game?
So listen, so the very first couple games we were watching him, he was trying to get the ball on the block. Mm-hmm. And they were forcing him baseline, mm-hmm. where there's another defender, which is the baseline. Mm-hmm. He didn't have enough space. So the other day before he got hurt, I noticed kind of a la you, mm-hmm. a la Chris Bosh. Mm-hmm. Now he got it about 4 feet away from there, little reverse pivot. He's looking at dude.
Right.
Now when he gets that glass shot paired with the quickness and that athleticism, he's going to be on top of people's necks.
Right. That's exactly what he's got to do, D. To, like we mentioned, a thinking man's game. He opens up and starts knocking that jumper down. Now all the stuff that he came to this tournament thinking he could do, he'll be able to do.
Yes.
But he has to understand that part. At this level, pride and ego, white knuckling, it doesn't really work.
Well, you know, we forget, and I say we forget, I always remind, he just turned 19.
That's
in
right.
March.
That's right.
And fans that come here and, you know, social media, I opened up my show talking about this. The absurdity that comes with evaluating 19-year-olds based on 3 or 4 summer league games, it's absurd to
it
me.
It is.
You know?
It is. It absolutely is. You got to give these kids time to grow, watch them grow. We've watched Don. You know, they're not going to jump in and be – if people watch Giannis when he first came into the league,
it took him
some time, and then he got it.
Right.
And so it is absurd to think that after 3 games in summer league, we can judge or put a label on kids. This kid just turned 19 years old. I was reminded about that. Someone said to me the other day, he said, Vin, he's the same age as your son. I'm like, you tell him my age. Ain't nobody asking you all that.
Hey, Vin, it's a treat, man. Thank you very much for stopping by, and good luck in Milwaukee.
Oh, so
thank
appreciate you,
so
bro.
Thank you.
Appreciate all
it.
Love,
always
baby.
Good seeing
yes.
you,
man. All right, man.
Thanks.
Be good. Thank you. That's Vin Baker. Tell you what, we're going to come back. We're going to talk with Larry Lewis, the King Summer League coach. That's next here on Sports 1140. All right, we are coming to you from Las Vegas, and Sacramento Kings assistant coach. He's coaching the summer league team, Larry Lewis. Nice enough to spend a couple of minutes with us as his team is going to be having a scrimmage against the Chinese team at 5 o'clock. First of all, I have to start off by talking about Harry Giles, because you've worked with him on a daily basis last year. So you've got more knowledge than the rest of us. Doug and I are just so happy for him. Forget about what – we're just happy for him. He's such a good kid, and you can see his enthusiasm and what this week and a half so far has meant to him.
First of all, thank you so much for having me, both of you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I think we've seen a level of passion from Harry that it was kind of impossible to see last year because he didn't play.
Right.
You know, a lot of practices, a lot of work, working out, videos, and that kind of thing. And for a player, that's tough, especially, you know, young players like himself. He's gotten in this environment. We had the California Classic, okay? We had 2 two-a-days, 1 one-a-day practice. He survived all of that with you know, I mean, great, in a great way.
Flying colors.
Comes here, right. Flying colors. I mean, and as a person, he's phenomenal. So it's so exciting to see, because he was a draft pick, right?
Yeah.
So now people see why.
Yes, right, no doubt.
He's showing why he was a draft pick, but until then, it's been a question mark.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think that was a big part of what we wanted to do with him. You take a year to process the injury, right?
Yep.
You be safe. You be considerate enough to that young man's career. All right, and now it's time to come out. And we've been watering that seed for a whole year. and you know, that plant, that fly is blooming. Is blooming.
Are you surprised? Because, you know, early on I thought that he, like, just the energy and different things like that, he couldn't maybe control his emotions. And then all of a sudden the other night, man, when we got here, it looked like that 3 games in Sacramento taught him something, and he processed that. To me, that speaks volumes to the type of computer he has to be able to take information and now apply it, because I think that I've seen him improve just since Sacramento.
Right, right. And the beautiful thing about that is he is a natural teammate.
Uh-huh.
So when you get into the character of Harry Giles,
uh-huh.
now you're dealing with a beautiful person, right?
Yes.
He understands team.
Yeah.
He knows it's not just about him.
Right.
He's going to bring what he does. But if you count the amount of times that he's high-fived his teammates.
Yeah, the most out of anybody.
That's character.
Yes. Right.
That's character. And
yes.
That's very important.
Yes.
And for Bag to be new, I'm talking about Bagley,
yeah.
right? He's new, right? It feels great when someone who's already familiar with the situation
yep.
brings you in and talks to you, grabs you. You do something good, high fives you. You make a mistake, you know, slaps you and tells you, hey, it's all right. We're going to get through this together, and we're going to get another good event on the court, right?
Absolutely. You know, I shared this story after the final game in Sacramento. It was about 20 minutes after the game, and I went into the locker room, and Harry was there, and I went up to him. I go, hey, I'm really so happy for you. And he said, I go, how are you feeling? He goes, I am feeling great. But he goes, man, I am just so upset and so bummed that we couldn't win for the fans. He said, these fans this week were unbelievable, and the welcome they gave me and my teammates, I will never forget. And he was like, I am so disappointed that we didn't win for the fans. And I was just like,
wow.
Wow. I've been doing this 30 years. Okay, I've talked to every – I was just like, you know, this guy is so genuine, and he embodies everything to me that you want in an organization. Yeah. First of all, he's very talented.
Right.
But he has all the other – and again, I know he's young, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. He checks all the boxes, Larry.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, yes, yes. And see how considerate he is to the fans. But we did win for the fans. We won the very first
That's
game.
That's correct.
Yeah.
The very first event, summary event, right?
Right?
Against the Lakers.
Right.
In a frenzied crowd.
Amazing. His first time in an NBA situation.
Incredible.
Right? So, you know, but you see how the young kids – you know, they take situations. You know, the negative sometimes outweighs the positive, and that's where we come in.
Yeah.
You got to listen. It's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, you survived it, right? You won the first game.
Yeah.
You got that on your
it's a great
under
point.
Your belt, right?
You know, you're speaking to, and this is I'll transfer over to Marvin Bagley, to adversity.
Exactly.
And so we had a lot of callers and social media, and they're saying how left-hand dominant he is. And I was just talking to Vin, and I said initially he was doing the same thing that he did in high school. He's trying to get the ball low on the block. They're pushing him to the baseline towards his right hand. The baseline's another defender. Did you tell him or did he figure out on himself? Because in this last game, he caught it about 4 feet off the block, low reverse pivot. Now he created some space. Was that you? Was that him on his own? Because I was like – to me, that's one little thing, but you know, as a player, that is it. Like it, some guys never even get that,
right?
And he got it like that.
That's right. And I'll tell you what, the night after the draft, he was in the gym.
Wow.
And then they had to leave the next day.
Okay.
So after that night, he was in the gym. His dad. Now he was in there with his whole family.
Yeah.
He had a workout. The next morning at 8 a.m.
Yep.
He and his dad were in the gym again. So we had two workouts before they left. And since that time, I've noticed how he listens and how he applies what he listens to.
Uh-huh.
Okay? There's a difference. Like, I can listen to you, but to take it and physically, spiritually, and mentally apply it on the game floor.
It's difficult.
He's special.
Wow.
Okay, so we talked about that. You know, he took a few jumpers. You know, the first game, he was hitting.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they may not go in. Sometimes.
Right. It's a shot maker's league.
That's right. Yeah. So here's what you do. You know, we talked about that. Even after the game, before the game, and during the game. Like, Bag, listen. You know, you said in a little bit. Attack him.
Yes.
Attack him. See. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fish a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And he went and he got an and one. He looked over to me. I just clapped my hands and said, that was you.
Yeah.
It's not me. I mean, we talked about it. You know, do your thing.
Yeah.
That's you.
I love
you know
that.
What I mean, congratulations.
Yep.
And
yes.
He's a – He didn't play yesterday.
Right.
Last night he didn't play. And I can feel how disturbing that was to him. He wants it. But he wants it with a humble
he
desire.
He was standing on the court with his
desire.
Teammates before the game last night on the court during warmups. I'm like, wow, he's on the court with his teammates.
Hey,
I'm just like loving that.
Drooling.
Yes.
Drooling.
Hey, Larry, you know what? I already know Marvin Bagley is going to be really, really good offensively. There's no doubt in my mind. I was telling Doug earlier, you know what's impressed the heck out of me? The way he has competed on defense, he's blocked shots. I mean, we kept on hearing this narrative, oh, he's terrible defensively. He can't play defense. The night we had him on from New York after the draft, I said to him, I said, Marvin, what do you say to your critics that say you can't play defense? You know what his answer was? Just watch. That's how he answered my question. Just watch.
So
I love that.
Yeah,
I love it.
I was telling Grant that, and the listeners, being that young, he's always dependent on athleticism. What I see in him is he's a little jumpy on defense. You know, he's kind of jumping around. So that tells me that he's going to depend on his athleticism, which is going to get him in trouble. When he understands position defense, just where to be, you don't have to do a lot of movement. Just be in the right spot. If you get beat, allow your athleticism to kick in. And I think that that's what Grant is seeing, because there's a tenacity on the defensive end. Like, he gets beat, but he doesn't stop
at all.
He keeps coming.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Right. And that's a part of it. You know what I mean? You like, there are certain things that he did and locked into to get here.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
But you know, our message has been to all of them, all the young players, right? First, second year, even some third year. What got you here may not be what keeps you here.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about, you know, and the hardest thing to do is to rewire somebody.
Yes, especially now.
Especially now. So I think the process,
okay,
is what we have to respect. I think that we need to be fair in what we expect.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It takes time.
Young players.
Yes, it takes time. And they need to know that, you know, this is not a stress out situation.
Yeah.
You know, foundation, right?
Yep.
Step by step. And they'll see it. And when they start to believe, when they start to see little things on the court, then their mind starts to take over. And then they start to water themselves. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They start to look at more video themselves. Their questions and their vocabulary changes.
Quickly, I know we got to go. Frank Mason, we were talking about it. In my opinion, looks like he's regressed a little bit. He's trying to figure out some teams. The ability to run a team, the ability to understand what he needs to do. What's your message to Frank to try to get him to stay at that? Because last night, I thought he did some good things. He looked over at the bench. He was more aggressive defensively, offensively. Not that you need to score, but you need to run the ball club. How do you see him translating into this next season?
We talked about what got you here.
Okay.
Right? There's a big difference than what's needed from him now and what got him here.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay? So that's the language. And then you deal with the acceptance of that. He accepts that. And now you can talk and get into feel the game. What needs to be done? Are we being reckless? Are we being sloppy? Calm it down. Call a play. Get everybody where they need to be. It's a different thought process.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great having you stop by. What time were you in the gym this morning? Every time I'm in the gym, like, he's already worked out and leaving, and I think I get there early. And when we're on the road, you'll see. He's at the gym, like, he's the first one in.
Well,
there,
I'll be meeting him on the road.
Hey.
I'm getting it in early, too, baby.
I try to stay sexy for my wife.
That's what's up. I like it.
Larry Lewis, good stuff. 1 hour in the books. We're coming back right after this.